That's a pretty amazing, miraculous event there, isn't it? For each of the different natives of different countries to hear God's message in their own language from men from Galilee who were fishermen and farmers and common people, common laborers, most of them. They weren't educated in many languages. They didn't know a lot about other countries necessarily. Most of them had probably never been out of Palestine, and yet all those people heard God's message in their own language. And sometimes we tend to focus on the miraculousness of it all. But that wasn't what was important. What was important was the message. A message that has come down to us even today, that God would be with us, that God's Son had come to be the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for His people, and that in being that sacrifice, His Spirit had come to live with us. For some, it gave them the power to speak in the languages of all those different countries from all over the Roman Empire. Jesus said that if you are filled with My Spirit, you too will do these things and greater. The miraculous events were not the point. The point was the message that they were used to illustrate. In one of the stories from the New Testament, a man is lowered down through a roof because he is lame and his friends want him to be blessed by Jesus. And Jesus forgives his sins. And the people around him mutter, "Who is this who takes the power to forgive sins?" And Jesus, knowing the muttering, says to them, "What's more important, the forgiving your sins or to have this man who has been lame pick up his bed and walk?" And so He tells him, "Get up, take your bed, and go home." And the man gets up, takes his bed, and goes home. And of course, in the process, he tells everybody what's happened to him. The miracles are testimonies to the power of God. Whether it be the speaking in tongues or the healing of the sick or the raising of the dead, they're testimony to the power of God. Peter refers back to the Old Testament prophet Joel to show the people the truth of their testimony. Prophecy was how they defined truth. Prophecy was where they looked for a reinforcement of what they saw. Prophecy was where they went to understand the things that were happening around them. Prophecy was the way they came to see God acting in the world. Is this God? Is this godly? Is this what God intends? Well, let's look at the prophets. Let's look at what's written. Let's go back to the Scriptures, and of course the Scriptures that they had were the Old Testament. These New Testament Scriptures are the events of their time. And so we too look back at those prophecies and we see it say that even the slaves of the Jewish households would prophesy. Well, that's us, folks. The Jewish household sometimes had Gentiles working for them, household servants, probably more like what we know of as indentured servitude, where somebody would make a contract to work in someone's home or someone's fields and live in the household and be part of the family for a period of years in order to pay off a debt. And so, here's Joel, even before the time of Christ, saying that even those people who were not Jewish will know God will be able to speak for God, speak His Word, know His power of His Holy Spirit. That's us, folks. The whole world was to be touched by this Jewish teacher who had no home that we know of, no wife or children that we know about in our scriptures. A few, a handful, a dozen followers, a dozen disciples, and others who saw Him, heard Him, saw His miraculous works, believed that He was the Son of God, believed that He was the one that had been prophesied about. Amen. We look forward into our future and wonder which of these prophecies apply to us. Prophecies apply to us. We read the New Testament prophecies of Revelations and wonder if we are approaching the end times. Well, the older I get, the more I feel like the end times could be right around the corner. At least for me, if not for the world. The more I look at the world, the more I wonder if we have overstepped our bounds, overused our blessings, overdone the worldly and undone or not done enough of the spiritual, the divine. We can't help but see ourselves in those prophecies that tell us that at some point the world will end in calamity. We know calamities come. We know terrible things can happen. We see things in our own history where the world has changed in a moment. Our psalm talks about the power of God to bring water to the dry places and provide food for the animals and life and breath, and when He takes it away, we die. When He takes it away, the Bethel pond dries up, and when He gives it back, it fills up. We don't have any control over those things, not even in today's modern world. We understand a lot more about how things happen, but we still struggle to understand why things happen. God's will, we say. Sometimes I wonder, does God give us opportunities to do His will, and when we refuse, ignore, walk away, turn away, prefer our own selfish way, does He then pass that opportunity on to someone else? The disciples were not very special. They were pretty ordinary people. They didn't always understand what Jesus was talking about. They didn't always do the right thing, and sometimes He had to kind of yell at them. Tell Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. Don't tempt me." And yet, here they were, filled with the Holy Spirit, performing amazing miracles so that the people would know that their teacher, their friend, their rabbi, Jesus, was indeed the Son of God. Do we use the power of His Spirit that is available to us to speak up, to reach out, to do His will? Sometimes we do. Sometimes not so much. Sometimes we are powerful in our spirit, and sometimes we are afraid, as the disciples were at His crucifixion. We are, after all, human. We have been studying the Old Testament, and I have been amazed at how many new things I have seen in our study of the Old Testament that, yes, I had read that, yes, I had heard the stories, but no, I hadn't seen all those connections, all those parallels, all those things that somehow jump out at you when you see it on the screen, which you might not notice when you read it on the page. we have the power of prophecy when God speaks through someone. But we also have the power of parallel when things in the Bible, things in the stories of God's people are very much like the things of our day. And I couldn't help but notice some of the parallels from the Old Testament stories and the New Testament stories that we've been watching. The story of Israel, of the people of God, that chosen people, begins with a miraculous birth. Sarah gives birth to a child when she is too old to have children. And she and Abraham both are too old to be able to conceive, and yet she conceives and bears a son who becomes the nation of Israel. Mary had a child, a virgin birth. She was too young, unmarried, never been with a man, and yet she conceives and bears a child, Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah. In both cases, we saw the murder of innocents. Before Moses can become the Savior of his people to lead them out of Egypt, there is a murder of innocents, a murder of children, to try and eliminate him. Before Jesus can become the Messiah, can become the Savior, there is a murder of innocents, a murder of children, by Herod the king. In both cases, people escaped to Egypt. In the Old Testament, Joseph was sent off to Egypt as a slave and became a friend of Pharaoh and saved his family by being there when the famines came and his brothers could come and live in Egypt. And of course, then they became enslaved. Mary and Joseph and the baby, knowing that Herod is looking to kill him, escaped to Egypt as well. We don't know about their time there, but they returned safely enough. Parallels. How many parallels do we see in our lives and in the lives of the people that we read about in Scripture? How many parallels do we see between our world and the prophecies? The how things happen, how things work, is pretty well known in our world. But the why? Why do people do what they do? Why do people think what they think? Why do people believe what they believe? Why do things happen the way they happen? Why does the pond dry up and then fill up again? We don't know any more than they knew. But we have this wonderful scripture and this wonderful opportunity to share His Word, to share our thoughts, to share our fellowship, to share our time, to share our passion, to share our gifts and our graces, to do His work, to be His people, to do His will. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for being His church. Thank you for doing His work. Thank you for listening to hear His message and His will. Amen.